Good morning, everyone. It's time again for the Church of God radio broadcast. It's coming to you from God's Acres at 675 North Cedar Street here in Newark, Ohio. Here now is Brother Dishman to bring us another good message from God's eternal word.
Thank you, brother. We ask you to take your Bible and turn with us over to the book of Matthew chapter 16, verse number 26. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? My message deals with the subject, bad bargains. Many of these bad bargains that we make in this life, we can get through it somehow. But some bad bargains have eternal consequences. And this one that we read here in the Bible says, what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That's a bad bargain. Even if you could gain the whole world and then you lose your own soul. Tragically, there's several people in the Bible that made some bad bargains. We're going to look at a few of them. Well, there's some people in the Bible, they made such bad choices, terrible choices. And I see people today making terrible decisions, terrible choices. Tragically, Lot made a terrible decision one day, given a choice. He made a choice for himself rather than for God. And it was a bad bargain for him. Yet how many Christians today are in the process of making bad bargains? Maybe yours isn't as bad as the one that Lot made, but any movement away from God is a bad deal. Do you hear me? Any movement away from God is a bad deal. You cannot expect to end up with a better deal than what God offers you in the first place. Yes, dear ones, bad bargains. Yes, how could anyone choose the world over God and expect to get ahead? Friend, how about you? What are you choosing? God leaves it up to us to make a choice. He does not force us to make a decision. He leaves it up to us. And that's why he said, I set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Whenever we choose the world and its ways over God and his ways, it's always a bad deal. It's a bad bargain. Lot started out with Abram, and like him, he had been enjoying the blessings of God, but he exchanged what Abraham could offer for what the world could offer. And in the end, Lot had much less. Which direction is your tent pitched towards? Bethel, God's house, or Sodom, the world? That was the bad bargain. He chose, my friend, the direction not towards the house of God, but towards Sodom, which is a picture of the world. Yes, that is a bad bargain. Then someone else in my heart goes out to Esau. Every time I read that story, every time I think about the bad bargain of Esau, you can read about it in the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Esau sold his birthright, the physical advantage of the physical birthright contained a portion, a good portion of the father's inheritance. Friend, this amount would have been very great. Such were the issues at stake when Jacob and Esau bartered over the birthright. But what did Esau do? He did exactly like many people are doing today. He chose the sensual over the spiritual. That's what many folks are doing today. They're choosing the sensual over the spiritual. He gave in to the cravings of his hunger. Yes, he valued that red pottage more highly than he did his physical birthright. And for this reason, the Bible calls him in the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter and verse number 16, that profane person. Esau chose the present over the future. Is that not what many are doing today? They're choosing the present over the future. He tossed away future rewards for present gratification. Yes, that's exactly what people do. They choose, my friend, present gratifications. The pottage may have assuaged his hunger for the day, but what about tomorrow? What about the day he would have received the inheritance? Friend, this also made him that profane person. Yes, for temporary physical pleasure, Esau sold his birthright. Oh, what a bad bargain. Yes, certainly. We would not think of doing the same thing, would we? No, we wouldn't consider that. None of us would consider making the mistake that Esau made, perhaps not with an inheritance that we might receive from our parents, but what about our spiritual inheritance? Are we selling our spiritual birthright? I've watched many people do that down through the years. Yes, our birthright as Christians, you know what we are? As Christians, we're heirs according to the promise made to Abraham. Not only that, according to the word of God, we're joint heirs with Christ right now. Not going to be, we're already joint heirs with Christ according to the hope of eternal life. In him, friend, the Bible lets us know that all things are ours and we have an inheritance. And the Bible speaks of our inheritance and it says that it's incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's reserved for us over in heaven. What a wonderful birthright, and not just limited to the things hereafter. Thank God for the benefits in this life that we have of serving God. How might we sell our birthright? You can do it. You can sell your birthright by succumbing to the passing pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11 and verse number 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the world. It was a choice. Moses made a choice, and here was the decision. I can suffer the afflictions with the people of God, or I can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That was the choice. He could do either one, but he made a wise choice. He figured out that it would be better to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. Friend, you can't have it both ways. You got to make a choice. Amen. We can sell our birthright, lusting for the things of this world, walking after the flesh instead of walking after the Spirit. Esau made a terrible, terrible bargain by depreciating the value of inheritance. I ask you, my friend, what is it that's worth eternity in hell? What is it that the devil has to offer you that is worth being lost throughout the ceaseless age of eternity? There's absolutely nothing that the devil could offer you that's more valuable than your soul. Amen. Friend, we can make a similar mistake as Esau, not appreciating the value of our inheritance in Christ, giving in to the allure of immediate gratification of the flesh. And if we're not careful, we'll come to a time when it'll be too late. No matter how many tears we may shed, it'll be too late to change the mind of God. According to the book of Hebrews, Esau realized, hey, this is a bad deal. This bargain between Jacob and I got the bad end of the deal. And he tried to reverse it. He tried to get it changed, but it's too late. There comes a time that it's too late. Are you in danger of selling your birthright as a Christian? Another man in the Bible, I think, made a real bad bargain. His name was Judas. When Jesus mentioned the disciples, often Judas was the last on the list. And it said Judas, who also betrayed him. What do you think of when you hear the name Judas? Betrayal. He betrayed the Son of God. Judas is the one who made the deal with the authority. Judas is the one who sold out Jesus. Judas is the one that the Bible said, and he went out into the night. And he said unto them, what will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. 30 pieces of silver. He sold the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver. What a bad bargain. It's a bad bargain to sell out for any price, but for only 30 pieces of silver. Did he get to enjoy that silver? What good did that silver do him? Absolutely no good. Many times, the very thing that people give up for God, they ended up losing it after all. It happened in the Word of God often. He was a regretful man. He betrayed the Son of God with a kiss, supposed to be an act of love. He said, the one that I kiss, he's the one. Get a hold of him. Don't turn loose of him. And he betrayed the Son of God. But then he realizes, this is wrong. I've made a mistake. He tried to take the money back and give it back, reverse the decision, but he couldn't. They said, here's the money. I betrayed innocent blood. They said, what is that to us? Right. See you to it. Here's a lesson, friend. Satan may make some sin look good to us, but in the end, that sin will betray you. And he committed suicide. He committed suicide. Suicide is murder. Taking your own life is murder. And the Bible said, no murderer shall inherit the kingdom of God. Some said, but my life is... it's been so messed up and I'm in such a terrible situation. I don't know what to do. I think I'll just take my life. That's not the answer. Suicide is never the answer to life's problem. Christ is the answer to life's problems. You're not going to get out of pain. You're not going to get out of trouble by taking your life. You're only going to increase the problem 10 million times. Don't ever forget that. No matter how low you get, no matter how disappointing life becomes, it's never the answer to take your life. But he did. He took his life. I've messed up. I can't fix it. Acts of first chapter, verse 18 now. This man, Judas, purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. It is known to all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Exceldama, that is to say, the field of blood. Judas had regret, but he didn't have godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I ask you, my friend, what's worth living for is what's worth dying for. Judas lived for gold and he died for it. He had Christ, but he traded him for cash and he ended up bankrupt in his soul and body. Judas always had two things close to him. He had Jesus. And he had that purse. My friend, the things we're the closest to have the biggest possibility of becoming the things that we're most devoted to. If we had no time for God and yet we make time for other things, what do you think will draw your greatest devotion? It's starting to think how that Satan can actually come into the heart of a man that's in such close contact with Jesus. But that's what happened to Judas. And more cunningly, he's trying to do it to you, and he's trying to do it to me. Yet he can only get through the door from the inside. There's not a knob on the outside. The only way the devil can get into your life is if you open the door and let him in. The Bible says then. Somebody said he was always of the devil. No, the Bible says then entered Satan into the heart of Judas. There came a point in time when the devil came into his life. He tried to come into Peter's life. And Jesus said to Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And the devil desires to have everyone. He desires to have you. And once he gets a person, he sifts them as wheat. Judas exchanged his love for God for his love for gold. He exchanged the eternal for the temporal. Even though close to Jesus, he fell into a trap. And you can too. And I can too. Judas' selfish act, his attitude towards material things reflected a heart that put cash first. And it will be remembered everywhere that this gospel is preached. Why do we serve the Lord? Is it for what we can get out of it or what we can give because of it? For momentary gain, he trades eternal bliss. What values do we place on our commitment to Christ? What are we spending our energies and time for? I hurt with remorse with Judas. Many of the things we do wrong can somehow be made right. Thank God there's an advocate that we have with the Father. And many of the things that we do wrong, thank God, can be made right. But now and then, we take steps that can never on this earth be retracted. Be careful of taking those steps that can never be retracted. Of this I'm sure, Judas should have gone to Jesus with his remorse, for it was Jesus that he had sinned against. Even if Jesus was already on the cross, Judas should have clung to the tree in loving sorrow, begging for forgiveness. Judas needed most of all to understand that the sins were not dealt with by hanging himself, but by trusting the one who was dying on Golgotha. No doubt Judas was miserable. That's what bad deals do. They make us miserable. We feel there's no way out. We're stuck. But I say again, suicide is not the answer. Last but not least, the bad bargain of trading our souls for the world. Oftentimes, men tend to spend more time pampering the body that is limited to this earthly life and neglect the soul which is made in the image of God and will continue after this earthly life. After this earthly life is over, your soul will live on either in heaven or in hell. And Jesus said that the soul is worth more than the rest of the world. And he asked the question, what is it profited if a man shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Our Savior asked these questions 2,000 years ago. And for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world? And he also asked, and what would a man give in exchange for a soul? Christ is simply teaching that it would be a foolish bargain if we should try to exchange our souls for the world. Therefore, we need to recognize the value of the soul. Why is the soul of man so valuable? The value of the soul is measured by its eternal quality.
The soul will never die. That soul within you will never die. The body soon dies and returns to the dust where it originated. But the soul, the Bible says, returns to God who gave it. The value of the soul is measured by the devil's interest in the soul. That's how you can tell how valuable the soul is. Look how the devil is interested in your soul. The devil is greatly at work. He's after the souls of young people and older people, middle age. It doesn't matter about the age. The devil is after the soul. Yes, and the value of souls also measured by God's concern for saving it. God's concern. God cares about your soul. God does not want you to be lost eternally. That's why he said the Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is very passionate about saving our souls. Yes, God sees man's soul as the most valuable thing in this world, and that's why he sent his son to redeem the souls of mankind. The value of the soul is measured by the price paid for the redemption of the soul. What are you going to do about your soul? Are you gambling with your soul? When the Holy Spirit of God deals with you and you say no, you're gambling with your soul. What would you give in exchange for your soul? That word exchange pictures a business transaction in which one is bartering for something else. Barter means to trade or to exchange one commodity for another. That means your soul is very valuable. Who would want to trade love for hate? Who would want to trade gladness for sadness? Who would want to trade peace for bitterness? Who would want to trade shouting for pouting? Who would want to trade holiness for sin? Who would want to trade obedience for disobedience? And who in their right mind would want to trade heaven for hell? Because that's the bargain, the bad bargain that you make when you walk away from God. Oh, the things that people trade their souls for: fleshly desires, drunkenness, immoralities, and drugs. Some allow their souls to be saved into the slavery of false doctrine. How valuable is your soul? Are you this morning, right now, prepared for eternity? You know, a lot of people tell me, I know I'm not where I ought to be. That's serious. I know I'm not where I ought to be. Well, then that's sin. Because to know to do good and do it not, to him, it is sin. If you succeed in all this world and fail to save your soul, then you have been a miserable failure. But if you fail in material things of this world and you save your soul, your life will have been a marvelous success if your soul is saved. I ask you the question, what is it that you would sell your soul for? What is it that's worth being lost forever? Many people have sold their soul for a very poor bargain in life. Is there something you consider so valuable that you would sell your soul no matter what? What we most value, we will sacrifice the most for. Bad bargains are easily made, but any bargain with the devil is a bad bargain. Every bargain, anything the devil offers you is a bad bargain. Some of God's children sell their birthrights for a meal of the devil's pottage. It's scary to realize, think about this. Many of the people in the Bible who failed God failed in the second half of their lives. Think about it. Saul in the Bible wasn't a young man when the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. Solomon in the Word of God, he was not a young man when the women turned his heart away from God. David was not a young man when he committed to sin with Bathsheba. He wasn't a young man. Just because you been saved all those years. You're not in heaven yet. Saul was well established as king, and he drifts away and is lost. What's the worst bargain of all? What'd be the worst possible bargain? Buying a car and spending thousands of dollars and find out it's a lemon. That's not the worst bargain. The worst bargain is when a man loses their soul for the world. I wonder if there was a car lot here in town run by a crook. I don't know that there is. But a man in this town who had spent years in prison for stealing cars, and he was a liar, he was a thief. Is that where you would trade? When you got ready to buy a car, is that who you'd go to? Somebody you knew was a liar and a thief and crooked? Is that the kind of person you want to deal with? Well, let me tell you something. The devil's a liar and he's a thief. And the Bible says he's a liar and he's a father of all lies. The Bible says concerning the devil, he cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. He's a thief. Why would you listen to him? Why would you take him up on any offer that he has? Because he's got a bad record. He's got a bad name. I wouldn't make no deals with the devil, because that's how hell is filled up, by listening to the devil. If you're here and you're not saved, wouldn't this be a good time to get saved? You got a bad bargain with the devil, right? It's been a bad bargain, but God can save you. And I'll tell you, if you'll get saved this morning, it'll be the best thing you ever did in your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Dishman, for that thought-provoking message. Dear one, have you been thinking lately about giving your heart to God? We certainly would encourage you to do that. Time is running out on this old world, dear ones. Brother Decker, the pastor of the Church of God, would be willing and happy to speak to you, to try to help you in any way possible to find your way to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you would like to, give him a call at 740-404-5519. That number for prayer would be 740-404-5519. Now, in behalf of Pastor Roger Decker, we'd like to extend a warm welcome to you to each of our services here at God's Acres. The service times for today will be 9:30 is Sunday school. The morning worship will begin at 10:45, and the evening worship will start at 6 o'clock. If you would like to have transportation to the service, please give us a call at 740-345-1213. That's 740-345-1213. I see that our time has gone again, but before we leave, this is Fred Barrows saying thank you for listening today, and hopefully you will join us again next week at this same time. So until then, we trust that God will give you a good week.